So my dad's actually kind of helped me see, like, it's okay to break the status quo. Like in business, and as a college student or anything, I feel like there's this culture of grind, 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 grind. And I think that's super cool. Like, I want to be known as someone that can bust their tail and get to work. But at the end of the day, like, I also, like, why? There's other things I want to pursue. There's other things I want to do. So why not go and do it and break the status quo a little bit?
Jaren, welcome to the Deeper Than Dope podcast. Today we got Bennett, myself, and Jaren talking about mental health and how we can make sure that we're aiming for the right things in life and not just going for the money. Thanks for being on the show.
Well, thank you guys for having me. Like, just kind of understanding the whole purpose of what this podcast is all about. Like, I'm really excited to be here. I love the focus and the mission behind everything you guys are doing. So
thanks, man. We'll start with, what's your background? Who is Jaren?
Dude, my background, I'm all over the place, man. I think where I really started to, like, figure out who I am right now, kind of foundation was, like, I was a missionary for my church, ended up living in Australia for 2 years, which was cool. Mm-hmm. But I ended up coming home, and I was a former student athlete, so I ran at UVU. I'm a track and field guy.
All right.
Track and field, it's cool for about 2 weeks every 4 years. At the Olympics, other than that, no one really cares about track. But former student athlete, where I eventually kind of found my way into the tech space. I've worked at a startup called Divi. They ended up getting acquired by Bill for a good chunk of money.
Big chunk. You mean 2 billion?
2.5 billion.
2.5.
Yeah.
Dang.
So I kind of rode that ship out before I ended up starting my own company called Dojo. And that's kind of what I've been building for the past 2 years.
And what is Dojo?
So Dojo, where you specifically focus on helping people gain access to jobs within the tech industry. Mm-hmm. We really want to decrease the barrier of entry. And we've seen one of the best ways to get into a tech company is through the route of sales.
Yeah.
And so we actually teach individuals how to do tech sales or software sales. Mm-hmm. And then we help them get jobs as SDRs or sales development reps at high growth tech companies, where they're able to break in, make really good money, have access to better opportunities, better mentors, things like that. So
where are these kids finding you?
LinkedIn's been really big for us, but really it's just kind of been word of mouth. So we hadn't run any marketing for almost 2 years. Everything that we'd done had been completely inbound through students that have taken the course or through other people that have also seen the mission behind Dojo. And they say, like, oh my gosh, I know someone that could benefit from this. Yep. And so they're referring, like, friends, neighbors, family, just trying to help them get into the tech space because it's growing so fast.
What is the mission? I mean, you kind of just described it, but describe it again. What is Dojo's mission?
Well, I think Dojo's mission really just kind of came through, like, a personal experience. Like, when I was going to school, like I said, I was going to UVU at the time, student athlete, studying, like, business management. Like, I really didn't know what I was doing. And it kind of got to a point where I had no idea what I wanted to do. I didn't know what I wanted to study. I didn't know what I wanted to do with my career. And so what do I do when I don't know what to do? I typically go talk to my dad. My dad, like, I don't know what I'm doing. And my dad at the time worked for a San Francisco-based tech company called Carta. And he actually encouraged me, said, hey, Jerry, like, you should go work for one of these tech companies in Utah. And my first thought was, like, dad, I'm not a computer guy. Like, I wouldn't fit in the tech space. He's like, you could do something customer facing, like sales. Like, what? So I ended up taking time off from school and I ended up working for Divi. And I ended up, like, I came in entry level, like, no sales experience, no degree, nothing.
Hustle.
And yeah, I was like, just teach me what I need to do. And so I was at Divi for about 18 months. And within that first year, I'd been promoted like 4 times. I was like helping manage this enterprise level sales team. Mm-hmm. And I was like making over 6 figures. I was 22. And I was like,
yeah,
why don't more people do this? Like, I'm nothing special.
Uh-huh.
Like, why isn't this being talked about in schools? Like, why aren't we teaching people how to do this job? Or why doesn't the person at Chick-fil-A, like, try to do this instead and like triple their income. And so for me, I ended up leaving Divi and we started Dojo specifically to try to help people understand their opportunities and see that tech's one of the best places you can work and sales is not the awesome career path.
Dude, that is so similar to what I was doing before Cookies.
Really?
I was doing recruiting door to door. And I'm like after the first summer of door to door, I only sold for 2 months, but it was so life changing. I mean, the money was amazing. And then I giggled when you said Chick-fil-A. I'm like, I try to recruit everybody at the Chick-fil-A drive thru.
Did you?
I'm like, oh yeah, I would always freaking, I'm like, you have people skills. And I try to separate sales. It's like sales, I don't want to do sales this way, but you have people skills and you're not a good salesperson. You have people like that or communication. Like you're an amazing communicator. If you could do this other job, you can make 10 times the amount of money. Mm-hmm. And then the opportunities, it's not about the money, but it's the opportunities that opens for you is just so huge. No, that's what I did every year before I did Dirty Dough.
Dude, that's awesome.
And the entire thing was, how do I empower college kids to not only make more money? I mean, you have to teach them to be a communicator, which is going to help them in whatever they're doing. It doesn't matter if they're going to sell pest control or solar door to door, but teach them how to be the communicator, give them some money, teach them what to do with that money so you can, with a few grand, if you've done correctly, like you can pass on $1 million to your kids if you make it. $5,000, invest in the right thing, let it sit for 30 years. Anyways, that was what I was preaching to everybody is let me teach you how to communicate and then make some money and then turn that money into opportunity.
Dude,
so
that is sick.
We're one and the same, man.
Yeah, well, just building on that, like I said, you get paid really well in the tech industry. I think it's like 30% higher than other industries. So it's like, why would I not want to go work there?
Yeah.
But the second thing, more important than anything for me, personally, was two other key factors. First is progression. How I define myself is I say I'm addicted to progression. Like I love growth. I love pushing. I love trying to reach that next level. In the tech industry, there's so many opportunities to move up. So like as a career move, like a lot of people get stuck or capped out and they just get doing the same thing every single day. But in sales and tech, there's always something you can push for and move up. Mm. And I think that's really motivating. But
in sales specifically or tech sales specifically? I don't know the tech sales space.
I'd say tech sales.
Like, is that just because there's more tech companies or there's more promotions in a certain company?
Yeah, there's definitely like a ladder. So like, you know, you start at SDR 1, 2, 3, 4, and then you go to an account executive where you're closing deals. Mm-hmm. And then you go account executive, like mid-market, enterprise.
And this is pretty built into most tech companies.
I'd say so, yeah.
You can have multiple verticals inside, so different segments that you can be over.
I mean, the door-to-door, you're the sales rep, and then an assistant manager, a manager, and then you're kind of...
made it.
I mean, there's a few other ones, but not like what you described. So that's cool.
Yeah, so a lot of upward mobility, which I don't know, for me is really motivating. But above all of that, I feel like my life really changed once I got in the tech industry because I met so many amazing mentors and leaders. Like at Divi, Blake Murray is the founder, the CEO. Sterling, he was their chief revenue officer, so over all of revenue. And I just saw how these guys worked. Mm-hmm. Like, I think we actually asked the co-founder, Alex Bean, out to lunch one day. Like, we're having lunch with Alex Bean. But I'm just seeing how these guys run the company. Mm-hmm. And it was one of the coolest learning experiences I've ever had. I think actually I messaged Blake Murray on LinkedIn a few weeks ago. And like, I think we have a call together. And so
Sick. That
connection just wouldn't take place unless I was like at that company, being able to be surrounded by amazing people like that, that have just taught me so much. And I don't know, it's something I'm always grateful for.
Mm-hmm. That's so awesome.
Progression. I'm kind of thinking in my mind, I'm just saying fulfillment. Because that's how I find fulfillment is that progression. A lot of it is that progression. What gives you that fulfillment or that sense of progression that satisfies you? What do you need to be doing?
For me, I like I said, I love the feeling of just getting better in anything I'm pursuing. Mm-hmm. So outside of work, like, this year, I've made a huge step towards just personal progression. I actually hired an accountability coach that I meet with every single Thursday.
Okay,
there you go.
And so I have like my physical goals, my spiritual goals, intellectual and social, like my four pillars. And every single Thursday, he follows up to see how my day-to-day tasks, like, did I do my tasks each day to help me reach my goals in my future? And so whether it be like playing the guitar, like I have certain songs I'm trying to learn, or whether it be trying to like stomp a backflip on my skis, like these are a couple of my goals. But in order for me to have like fulfillment in life, like a big aspect is just that personal progression, trying to accomplish the things that I really want to do.
And your business coach, or not your business coach, your accountability coach, is that what? A lot of times I can see like I'm making progress, but I'm not maybe held accountable, or maybe I'm not reviewing my progress. And so I'm not getting that fulfillment out of it as much as I could with it. And the brain, like you, what feels good is typically your dopamine. Well, you get more dopamine from expecting to do something than actually achieving it. So if you think you're going to achieve it, you feel better at that moment when you're about to get the award than when you get the award itself. So that I'm kind of relating it to that accountability coach. I listened to another neuroscientist guy, Andrew Huberman, and he talks about you have to set a goal within the you have to set a goal that can be completed in the first so many minutes of the day, because you want to start your body and your brain off correct. Like, even if the goal is I'm going to make a cup of coffee, or the goal is I'm going to respond to this many emails, but you set the goal and then you complete it within the first hour or so of the day or working out. And it just really sets you up on, you know, those pathways of, okay, I'm making progress, which then drives more and more motivation.
That's cool.
So I really like that you have the accountability coach, and I can see how it helps. Like, maybe you want to do a backflip and you achieve it, but if you're not having somebody like, hey, look what you did last week, you achieved, you know, everything you read, you said your prayers every day or whatever, you know?
Yeah.
So I think that's super cool that you're doing that.
It's cool you bring that up, because seriously, like, I've had a couple weeks where I just like didn't do very well my goals and whatnot. And he comes in and he's just like, one, he helps me recognize like what I did do. And that's always like good to recognize. Even like a little bit of effort is better than no effort. And so, yeah, just him helping me find the good out of everything that I've been doing that week, even if I had different struggles with my goals, and then helping me plan out like, hey, how can we be a little bit better next week? Like, it's been cool. But the accountability aspect, having someone else care about what you're doing, it's been huge.
I'd be curious to have you tell the audience how you found your coach. Because I think everybody, like, I have my own coach, I went through my own process, but I'd be curious how you found and settled on yours, because it's very personal.
Dude, I think it totally is. So I'm huge on performance psychology. So I don't know if you guys have ever heard of Craig Manning. Like, he used to work with all the BYU's student athletes. Now he works with the Bucks.
His name just came up the other day. He gave a lecture to a couple of big businesses here.
I wish I was there, because he's like my hero, honestly. But I actually have a friend who is studying performance psychology at school, and who actually TAs for Craig Manning. His name's Dylan Heaton. Shout out to Dylan. But I felt like this guy, even though he's still in school, I think I'm a year older than him. He's about my age. And I just like, this guy knows his stuff. Like, I've seen what he posts on social media. He's so consistent. He's so disciplined. I'm like, that's what I want to be. I'm like, this guy's got it. And so I ended up asking him. He'd never done anything quite like this. But I just kind of pitched him on the idea. I was like, dude, I'll pay you. Like, please, let's do this every week. And he agreed to it. And we've had a session every single week this entire year.
Awesome. Cool.
And I don't know if I'll ever stop unless he quits on me. But it's been one of the coolest things. So it's really just a friend who was something that I wanted to be.
Yeah.
And in this case, he was studying performance psychology.
But you shouldn't help me. He wasn't even doing this.
No.
You're like, dude, I need you, which is so cool, which is just like, I want someone, I'm going to go ask for.
Pretty much, yeah.
He just texted the, or LinkedIn messaged the Blake guy, Divi, you know? Like, yeah. Shoot your shot, man. Shoot your shot.
Yeah. I mean, you never really know, like, what opportunities are there unless you ask. Mm-hmm. And I think it's one of the things I've learned is people are always more willing to help. Like, people want to help you. Yep. And you just sometimes got to ask for help, and people are always up for it.
That's the biggest thing that I'm working on right now, is asking for help. Because there's so many times we get lost in this, like, I have to know it myself, versus saying, like, hey, let's figure this out together and let's make it happen, because as a community that we can actually achieve more.
Well, a lot of times when you ask for help, you are doing a service for the person that you just asked for help. Like this guy that you're describing, I forgot his name, the performance. It's like now he can say, I have clients. He couldn't say that before you reached out to him. You started his business, whether he wanted it or not, but like there's so much value that I see that he's gaining from this while you're gaining it. And it's just like, if he wouldn't have asked, neither of you would have had that value.
Dude, it's cool you say that, because I think it's so true. Like those relationships where you both benefit from something, those are like lasting. Mm-hmm. Like if you're just give, like you want to be that type of person, but at the end of the day, it's tough. So if you can have someone who like you work together and you both give, I think that's like a kick butt
for
a relationship.
How are you bringing in your mission to Dojo and letting your customers or clients or students see it as more than, okay, I'm just going to check some boxes, get my, you know, learn some sales skills, but really buy into, hey, I'm opening up. This is going to open up doors for you, and have them see that vision of like, hey, you can. What I was always trying to do is, I'm not talking to you and what I can do for you. I want to talk to you what I can do for your kids, because that gets people more passionate. It's like, okay, well, if we can make X amount of dollars and we could set aside this and you buy a property and then you let it grow while you're having some passive income and then you pass that on to your kids. Like that I've seen gets people a little bit more excited of like, you can change generational wealth here. Is that something that you're trying to push, you have pushed? Talk to me about that.
Dude, yeah. Kind of alluded to this earlier, but I think when I share kind of like what we hope to help people achieve, one, it's different for everyone. Like maybe they really do just want to make more money, create that generational wealth. Other people like want to push themselves and like personally and be surrounded by better leaders and mentors. And so it's finding like what those people want, but I think tech has to offer so much.
Mm-hmm.
But I really guess the way that we go about it is it's really less about what we do. I really believe that. And I'm saying this about my own company. It's less about the training that we've provided. It's more about the people we get to work with. And what I mean by that is like, we don't work with normal people. And what I mean by that is these are people who have physically invested like their time and their resources into taking a course that's going to help them get better.
Yeah.
This course, it's held in the evening. So most people we work with are like working a full-time job during the day. And then they come in the evening, they put in more work and they go above and beyond. And that's personally what I believe has led to Dojo being successful. I'd love to say it's me. I'd love to say it's our awesome instructors. At the end of the day, it's these people having a fire inside of them to push themselves, push their limits and get to what they want, whether that be generational wealth, whether that be
what's giving these guys the fire though?
Man, everyone has a different story. And that's the coolest part.
Well, let me tell you what I'm asking. I think you're discrediting yourself and the team a little bit more, because everybody can say, well, I just have great clients. So like, well, these people that are your customer, what do you call them, customers, clients, students?
Yeah, we call them students.
Students. So your students are the make your business successful because they have fire. Well, these students could be students freaking anywhere. They could own franchises, you know, but like, why, what are you doing to get these guys, I guess? And then look at that and give yourself credit for that culture or marketing, whatever it is, because these guys exist everywhere, right? They could go somewhere else, but they're choosing you.
Well, one, I appreciate that a ton. Man, I honestly, like on a really like personal note, what I believe it is just our passion. I think it's a passion I carry. I think it's a passion our team carries about what I like to call owning your education.
Yeah.
I think these days there's so many ways to learn. And a lot of times people forget how to learn,
mm-hmm.
I believe. I believe that, you know, sometimes certain systems, whether it be schools, whether it be other courses people have taken, where they don't feel successful with what they've done, they almost hit like a barrier. And so what I've seen with a lot of students is they'll come in, maybe they've been like doubted part of their life. Maybe they're just not where they want to be. But the second they realize that they can learn or they can feel themselves progressing, that's what lights the fire. I think that's a big focus for us.
And so do you see that your culture is what's lighting the fire? They're probably not coming to you at the fire. Maybe they are, I don't know, but you're attracting them either way. So what you're doing is super cool, because those are definitely the people that you want. Everybody wants students, customers, clients with that fire, but they're not getting it because they don't have that. They're not attracting it in the right way. So you're pretty clear on, like, let's freaking empower.
Well, I appreciate that a ton, dude. That's the best part. Like,
yeah.
Yes, we teach individuals how to sell, but we also focus a lot on character development.
Mm-hmm.
Like, I truly, truly believe that in order to produce a top performer in anything, it comes down to so much like who the person is at the end of the day.
Yep.
Like, is this person humble, willing to learn? And is this person hungry to, like, get after it and go and get it? And I think if you can light that fire in someone or help them see it in themselves, like, that person will go to hell and back.
Yep.
To be successful, to reach their goals. And those are the people you want on your team.
Creates loyalty too.
Mm.
Along the whole process. What other characteristics have you found or have embodied in this process?
Yeah, good question. Through the course, we talk about a few key ones. First thing we talk about is finding your why, like Simon Sinek.
Mm-hmm.
I think everyone has that thing that motivates them, and helping someone find their own personal why, I think, is step one. And then from there, kind of focusing on what you can control versus what you can't.
Mm-hmm.
Like, in sales, that's a huge skill, because there's a lot of things you can control, like your effort, the number of people you'll talk to, but you also can't control, like, who says yes, who says no, and things like that. And so helping people find their purpose, see what their goals are, understand what they can control, and then have them buy in on themselves and believe that they can actually reach those goals.
Awesome. Well, let's talk about the hard parts.
There are definitely hard parts.
What are the hard parts that you personally have dealt with when it comes to, I don't know, running business with stress, with anxiety, with anything on that mental side? What's not easy?
Oh, yeah. I think I've come to see, like, for myself, like, a lot of time, I'm my biggest enemy at the end of the day. Where I personally feel like I hold high standards and I have expectations of things I want to do or how things I want to be, and I fall short a lot of those times. But I think the one that I continue to battle probably every day is just believing that I can't actually do this. So kind of going back to my accountability coach, we talk about, you know, mental performance every time we meet on Thursdays. And he taught me there's a difference between confidence and belief. So confidence is, you know, I am confident in something that I've already done. Like, I already know I can do this because I've done it in the past. But belief is the confidence that you can do something that you've never done before. So with building a company, like, I've never done that before. And so a lot of times I have to run off self-belief that I can do this, I can figure it out, I can learn from my mistakes, I can get better. And so keeping that flame of belief lit is definitely something I always focus on and try to do.
That is a constant battle. That, like, strikes so deep, because as an entrepreneur, no one's done what you're doing. And so you got to dig really deep and light that flame every single day.
Is there any actionable things that you do on a daily or weekly basis that help you?
Yeah, a couple. Like, I've been learning a lot about myself this year. One is self-talk. Like, I have started actually talking and telling myself out loud or in my head, like, I can do this. Mm-hmm. So I have 5 mantras that I will repeat to myself, like, throughout my day, throughout my week, just of things that I want to be.
Can you share them?
Yeah, if you guys are up for it.
I'm up for it. Absolutely.
So my first one is, like, I'll just name all 5, but it's, I am loved, I am fearless, I am resilient, I'm proud of myself, and, oh man, you put me on the spot, I can do anything.
I love it, man.
And so those are the ones that, like, I'll repeat in certain moments. Like, I'll just say one over and over and over, like, I'm proud of myself. I'm proud of myself. Look what you've done. Like, just keep going. And like, sometimes I need that one, or like, hey, I'm fearless. Like, I've never done this before. Who cares? Like, just go. You can do it. So self-talk's been a big one for me this year.
I do the same thing. In the meditation, I'll do daily meditation. A lot of it is self-talk, putting on some music, getting in a good headspace, maybe do some breath work. And then I imagine I'm talking to my subconscious mind, because my subconscious mind is in control.
Yeah.
Right. That's what's driving everything. But my conscious mind thinks it's in control. So I'm like, okay, how do I get in a good headspace that my conscious mind can tell my subconscious mind what to do, and my subconscious mind actually freaking listens, because it has to believe it. Anyways, I use a lot of those same ones.
Dude.
As it freaking gets so stressful, you know, and it gets tough. It gets lonely. So I like that. Anything else that you do that's coming to the
mind? Man. Entrepreneurs, like, I'm assuming there's anyone who's listening to this podcast, probably a lot of people have their own business or want to start their own business. I never like planned to like start a business. I think it just kind of happened, and I like went for it, and good things have come from it. But one thing I didn't fully understand when I started is that entrepreneurship is lonely. It is such a lonely road. And I am a people guy. Like, I love people. I love being around others, like learning from them, like overcoming challenges together. Like, I'm a community guy. And so building a company has been tough, and still is tough. Cause like, I have a team, and that's been what saved me. It's like, I did things early on, but starting to build that team more and more with people that also have the same passion, have different strengths than I do in certain areas, and me being able to rely on them, where it's not just me against the world every day, that has been really big. So surrounding yourself with people to support you inside of work and outside of work, that is like a game changer for me.
Yes, I think that's important. I don't think entrepreneurship's lonely. Unless you make it lonely.
Well put.
I mean, it's I feel like there's such a huge community here. I moved from San Diego area back to Utah a year ago, and just plugged into the entrepreneurship community here. And I'm like, there's events going on all the time.
Yeah.
Don't go to most of them, but they're still like always happening, and everybody is very, very, very friendly. It can be lonely, and it probably is mostly lonely, but I think you can make it not lonely. And I do feel like that's the freaking hardest part, is like, holy shit, I need to find other people that are also struggling, because I don't have money to hire an employee right now. So I'm working by myself, but I can go and join a mastermind or, you know, events and be like, oh, you are struggling to pay yourself? Me too. You know?
Straight up.
What were you going to say?
No, I was going to say, as entrepreneurs, we also find ourselves not being as vulnerable. And so it like sometimes does make it hard to break the ice, which is like what I found is like being in that same spot, we're all there, but it's like, wait, you're doing good, well, I'm doing good, I don't want to get vulnerable here. And it becomes this downward spiral, so you can break that ice, and then you're like, oh, like I found my tribe here. It's like, oh, you're doing this problem, how are you solving this, and that like instantly becomes friends.
Yeah, honestly, really well put. I'll tell you, like I said, that challenge, the biggest challenge I faced with that self-belief aspect. Dude, I can't give a big enough shout out just to the entrepreneurs of Utah. Like, I'll go to different events and network, and I've had so many people tell me, like, I love what you're doing, or like, I think it's so cool, or I saw that what you did for this person, or what Dojo's done, and those little interactions, they light the flame again, they keep you going, and I seriously can't give enough shout outs to everyone that I've met at different events. It's even said it's the smallest compliment to what I'm doing or whatnot. And it sucks to say, like, maybe you need some validation sometimes.
You do, though.
But it goes a long way. So, especially as an entrepreneur.
How old are you?
I'm 24.
Okay. Not married?
I'm not married, no.
Not noticing a ring. Work-life balance probably is an issue then, right? You're just like, this is my freaking life. How do you...
He's got skiing as one of his goals.
He's doing backflips.
Some balance.
Yeah. What was the question?
Really, what I guess I'm giving you advice, because you're younger than me.
Dude, I'll take advice. Let's go.
Because most people that come in here are older than me. Mm-hmm. I'm 30. Anyways, what I've seen in myself and in interviews on podcasts or me being interviewed on other podcasts is most people get disappointed with their goal because they didn't set the right goal. I love that you mentioned Simon, what the hell is his name? Simon Sinek and his, you know, what is the why? So hopefully when you get there, you're like, okay, this is rewarding, but really it's, when you get there is never the time to enjoy it, right? Mm-hmm. You have to enjoy it on the way because when you get there, you get this little hit of dopamine or serotonin or whatever, and then it goes away after a few days, you know? So just really finding that, I mean, that was just kind of my whole journey is like, I'm going to work nights and weekends and all the time. Yeah. It will be worth it one day. And it's not. It's not ever worth it. You have to find it kind of on your way. So my question, I will phrase it into an actual question is, with that in mind, have you thought about that? And what are you doing right now to kind of prepare, like, here's my work and it is very important and very fulfilling, but here's my other things to have a self-worth that is not attached to my business?
Dude, really good question. A few things I've been doing, like, again, talking about my accountability coach, like, I seriously cannot stress, like, how much this has been a game changer for me this year. Mm-hmm. But I actually don't talk about a ton of work-related things with him. I just keep it personal, just because it kind of allows me to realize I have other things I'm pursuing and I'm proud of outside of work. So
that's awesome.
One of them, like,
steps ahead of me. I love it. I love it.
But like some of the things I've been doing, like you said, I play the guitar. I played for like 7 years and I love the guitar. Like I feel like I'm pretty good. I've just learned off YouTube. But last year I was like, I want to get better. And so I actually started taking guitar lessons and I have a guitar lesson every single week. It's in like the middle of the day. But I gave myself permission to take my guitar lesson on Tuesdays every single week. And so I have hobbies, I have passions, and I just don't think I should ever let those go. Like, yeah. I want to hold
I 100% agree. I love that answer, though. You already, like, I'm doing guitar, I'm doing skiing, I'm not even talking about business with my accountability.
Yeah.
So I made an unfair assumption that you're a freaking workaholic. And I'm glad you're getting the job done while finding balance.
Dude, I appreciate that. For me, balance is huge. And I think it's just, I don't know. I think one of the questions was like, what do you want to be known for?
Mm-hmm.
Like we were going to talk about, maybe I'm just jumping ahead, but
that was the next question. Go jump on.
But I want to be known for someone that just is a good person, like who like has people that they've been able to impact in their life. And I think work's one way to impact, but I think it's so much bigger. I think it's these personal relationships that matter the most to me.
Uh-huh.
Like I would say I'm an extrovert, like I want to be around people, but I keep my circles small, I guess. Like I have so many people in my life, but there's a couple key ones that I always want to invest in. And those are the ones that mean the most to me. And I think just being able to take time away from work for me to spend in these other areas, like with the people or doing the hobbies that I like, it actually fuels me to be able to perform better at work. So
love that. I think that's what most of us miss is we need to work harder, 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 because when we work harder, then we'll have the success or the money and then we'll get better. And it's like, no, that's not going to, having more money in your bank account does not heal a stressed out, anxious, depressed person. It just freaking doesn't. So take care of your mind and then make sure that you are in a comfortable spot. And then that is what's going to prepare you to be more successful, have more money. Mm-hmm. But I do think that most all of us have it backwards. It's not taking, we're not taking the guitar lessons or the skiing and it's like, no, I'm just going to freaking work forever. And it's like, it's not really working out for most people, right? Like as far as your happiness and your fulfillment levels, you're pretty low, but hey, you got a big bank account. Cool. So anyways, I love that you're already onto that. And why is that? Most people are not really focused on that.
Dude, that is a good question. I'll tell you, like, I just have a blast doing these things. Like, I don't know why I wouldn't make that a focus in my life. Like, I love being around those people. Like, I love skiing. I love playing guitar. Like, these are things that just fire me up. Mm-hmm. So for me, I think it's just, when you ask why you do it, I'm like, because that's the best part of my life.
How do you compare to, I mean, both of your parents are freaking awesome, super hard workers. Did you feel like you learned what to do from them as far as work-life balance? Or did you feel like maybe they worked a little bit too much and you're like, maybe I want to go opposite?
Oof. Man, actually, I'm glad you bring that up because that actually helps me answer the question. But my dad's been a great example to me and my mom. Like,
I mean, they're both super successful. I don't know how much they work, but that's how my mom, you're their kid.
They definitely work a lot and they enjoy their work, which is cool. But I remember, like, there have been times where I've had certain expectations of things I needed to do and certain paths I needed to follow. And my dad kind of is like, dude, why? Like, why do you need to do that? Like, he actually kind of told me to take some time off of school so I could go work at Divvy. Mm-hmm. And I was like, what? Like, that's, I didn't know that was an option. Yeah. Right. You know? So my dad's actually kind of helped me see, like, it's okay to break the status quo. Like, in business, and as a college student or anything, I feel like there's this culture of grind, 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 grind. And I think that's super cool. Like, I want to be known as someone that can bust their tail and get to work. But at the end of the day, like, I also, like, why? There's other things I want to pursue. There's other things I want to do. So why not go and do it and break the status quo a little bit?
So you feel like you learned a lot of that from your dad of, like, just do what you want to do. I'm not expecting you to be a doctor. I mean, the last guest that we had in here, he was like, I had to become a doctor. I'm Asian. You know? And he ended up not, obviously not doing that, but there's a lot of pressure. And you're, if I'm hearing you correctly, it's, my dad taught me I can pursue passion.
Dude, yeah. My dad, he, the way I put it is, he gave me permission to explore.
That was cool.
And I didn't feel like I was exploring a lot of school. Like, I was studying business management. I was on this path and I didn't even know where that path was taking me. I didn't know why I was there. It was just something everybody else did. So I was going to do it. Yeah. My dad kind of broke that barrier down for me and said, dude, go and learn. Like, take some time off, go figure out what you love, something that you want to pursue. Go back to school, go pursue that and do that. And I think that was a pivotal moment for me growing
up. Awesome.
Yeah.
Good parenting at its finest.
Yeah.
Dude. Jeff, you're awesome. Dude, thanks for being on the podcast, man. How can our guests connect with you?
I use LinkedIn a ton. I think that's an awesome place to connect. You can always shoot me a message. So Jaron Erickson on LinkedIn. Just shoot me a connection request. You can even leave a note, say they listen to the podcast, and I'll give Bennett a shout out for having me here. So,
like, man, love it. I love it, dude. Thank you. Thank you so much.
Well, thanks for having me, guys. Seriously, love what you guys are doing. I love the mission and the focus behind everything you guys are sharing on this pod.